Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Had a fun episode of Dynamite tonight. Jericho versus Yuta. I mean, that was obviously very predictable. The dumpster match. What did they say? I am the table. Tonight, for a little while, it was I am the dumpster. Any of you kind of worried that it was going to go off the opposite side of the stage before they could push it off? Yeah, we were a little concerned about that, but not a bad episode. Now, let's get right into the show, because tonight, I'm not going to lie to you, I am exhausted. I battled sleeping during watching Dynamite. I have been up since the wee hours of this morning. Any of you that follow my personal life, you know it was a very, very important day for yours truly. And 30 days from today, we make it official. I will be off the market. Then again, when you look at this and my age, am I really ever on the market? Nobody wants this. All right. We're going to talk about AEW Dynamite tonight. We're going to talk about NXT a little bit. We're going to talk about the AEW video game news that came out and a little bit of a clarification about that release date that a lot of you out there are being misinformed about. I want to give a shout out to Joey, Rams fan, Mikey, and two others that either DM me, email me, or we were talking yesterday about it, and they were spot on as far as that information. We'll get into that a little bit. Look, the AEW video game, I guess we could, and we have a little bit of office news with AEW. We'll get into that as well. Kind of damage control. You know, this press release that AEW put out was something that they probably should have done a while back, but it will ease the mind of a lot of people out there, especially this dispute about talent relations. You know, we talked about that last week, but let's talk about this video game for a few moments. Now, I will say this, you know, I want to make this clear. This cover art is not the cover art for the video game. That was custom made. You know, I know everybody had a big red arrow smack in the middle of theirs because they just cut and pasted the original photo. I actually worked on this last night. I couldn't sleep. So I worked on it a little bit, added a few logos just to annoy people that want to copy it. But that is not the cover art or the video game. However, it appears that this might be the cover art for the video game. Now, I'm not going to criticize the cover art all that much. Now, pay attention to that date in the right-hand corner that nobody is really noticing. August 12th, you will have some additional information coming out. And I hear some of the gameplay that comes out, people are going to be extremely surprised how good the shit is. But this apparently is the cover art. Now, I got to be honest with you. Is this, you know what? Maybe it's apropos. Maybe it's the perfect cover for AEW. Because we've talked about sometimes episodes of Dynamite will have 50 people on the show. 50. It's not an exaggeration. You know, WWE, Raw, well, Raw's 3 hours, but SmackDown, sometimes they have 15 to 20. And 20 might even be a high number. Sometimes they've been, didn't we have one episode of Dynamite where we counted 71 wrestlers? Not everybody wrestling, but doing run-ins, you know, actively involved. I think we counted 71 on one episode. Do you feel that this cover art has too many faces on it? Like, oh, we got to please the women's division. We got to put Britt Baker. Oh, CM Punk, the cornerstone of what we are. Jericho, you know, dedicated. Jay Cargill, the future of tomorrow. John Moxley. We got to, you know, show him on there. No Daniel Bryan. Bryan Danielson, excuse me. And, of course, Kenny Omega. You know, he's got to put his face on there. He's the one that's the brain. You know, it's the one that has really put this all together. So, you know, Would have been funny if they put Cody on there. It would have been funny. I mean, he is still in the video game because of previous business agreements. You know, it's funny. There's actually a lot of people out there that think that Cody was left in the game because of how much he did to start off with AEW, or maybe the opposite, that Cody said, you know what, you know, because I want to see everybody succeed, keep my like. He said, no, there's fucking licensing agreements. There's money to be made. And you sign contracts, even if you end up leaving, if you sign that deal, you're in that game, you get paid royalties, you get paid this. Yeah, taking that away. So, you know, but what do you think of the cover? I mean, to me, personally, it seems a little bit too congested, but that might be, like I said, it might be the perfect cover for AEW. Now, I'm going to read you a very quick little press release about this game. Couple of things in it that, you know, are a little interesting. I'll show you a couple of screenshots and I'll tell you about that release date as well. So, not going to read every single detail from the press release, but Kenny Omega, quotes from Kenny Omega. One of the first things I did after signing with AEW was ask Tony Khan to help, let me help assemble the best gaming team on the planet. Uke's president and CEO, Yukinori Taniguchi, says, quote, I am both gratified and excited to have the opportunity to work with AEW, who is breathing new life into pro wrestling using the expertise we have cultivated over the years. We are taking on this project with the ultimate staff from Uke's development team, blah, 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 blah. Kenny's incredible vision for AEW Fight Forever is informed by his wrestling pedigree, both inside in the ring and on a controller. Then it goes on to say a couple of things about the game itself. A touch of nostalgia is just the beginning in AEW Fight Forever. Players can look forward to pulling off the most current wrestling moves seen wildly on popular AEW programming. This in addition to innovative tandem offense moves, online co-op wrestling, and it says deep career mode, create a wrestler, signature AEW arenas, multiple match types, and even some good old-fashioned, unsanctioned fun. Now, I can't post the video. There's something about this game. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. Now, I will show you a couple of screenshots. These are updated. Jericho looking pretty damn good. I don't know why it's cut off in the middle, but Jericho looking pretty damn good. Remember originally they looked like they were wearing those, what were those things? The battle things when back in the 90s? You know what I'm talking about. You remember those chests that looked like they were pillows? But that's Jericho. Is that Moxley? I think it might be Moxley. But anyway, that is from a ladder match, a screenshot from the game, another screenshot from the game. Pretty damn good graphics. Aubrey Edwards, I'm digging the haircut. This picture, though, kind of like, I don't know what it is. Did somebody, oh, that's a fire extinguisher. Oh, okay, the fire extinguisher. All right, I could take it. Doesn't look bad. I like the graphics. You know, for me, it's the gameplay. You know, anybody that's as old as me, you know, we sometimes could play games that are 30 years old and have a blast, even though the graphics are kind of shungada. You know, so it's not always just about the visual, it's about the gameplay. But there's video floating around that they have little mini games inside this game. And the mini games have nothing to do with wrestling. I saw a video of somebody hitting a baseball. I saw a video, it looked like trying to collect casino coins. Go seek out that video that's floating around. You probably could find it on Twitter like this. Like I said, I can't show it because I don't want to get hit with copyright shit. You know, the only time I was ever asked to take something down was when I showed the preview for AEW Heels. You remember way back years ago with AEW? I can't believe we're saying years ago already. But remember we saw the promo for the first ever introduction for AEW Heels and you saw Brandy's heels walking by? All you saw was feet walking by the screen. Then whoever made the music requested a takedown. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you. I just took the whole segment out. I could have muted it. But go look out for that video. It's it's different. I don't know what the purpose is for that. It has nothing to do with wrestling. There's like four or five different mini games that I saw. So maybe you like it. Maybe you like it. Now, one thing I do want to make mention, and this is very, very important. You could pre-order the game now. Amazon, wherever you get your video games from, you could pre-order it. I believe it's pretty much $59.99. Digital will probably be a little bit cheaper, I would assume. PS5 would be probably the most expensive. But one thing to take into account is the release date. Everybody is reporting that the game is going to be released December 31st, 2022. Now, when we saw this, my immediate reaction was, and anybody was in a watch party yesterday, you remember my reaction, I was like, the fuck are you going to put that out a week after Christmas? I mean, you mean to tell me you can't bump that up by 10, 20 days? I mean, that's a you want someone to unwrap the goddamn gift. You don't want to give someone a receipt. Hey, in 2 weeks after Christmas, you can get the video game. No, you want to wrap the game. You want someone to rip it open. And depending on who that person is, maybe you want them to rip you open like a present, you know? So, but this is what I found out, and props to everybody I mentioned earlier who told me, especially on Amazon, they have to provide a date. If you look at pre-orders, if even movies, they have to put a date, something there. They can't put quarter one, 2023, February or winter 2023. You can't do that. They have to put in a pretty much a date. That December 31st, 2022 date is just a date to fill it on the page. I want to make this clear. If you're thinking about Christmas gift for yourself or someone else, this is not a guarantee. This game will be out in time for Christmas. This game might not be out until maybe more towards WrestleMania of next year. So just because it says the end of December does not mean it's coming out the end of December. But I will say this. The fact that they're pushing this now in September and start really getting, I mean, they want to get as much pre-orders as possible. But the fact they're doing this now, they're pretty much ready. So I expect this game to come out, and I'm hoping it comes out before Christmas because, you know, the fact that you could pick this up as a Christmas gift for someone, I mean, you know, sometimes you have a difficult time trying to figure out, what can I get someone? If they're a wrestling fan and they like the game, chances are they probably don't have this. The only problem is someone else may be thinking the same way you're thinking, and that person may end up getting 2, 3, 4, 5 AEW video games. So Josh says, Wheeler Yuta looks like a creator wrestler default. He reminds me too much of Taka Michinoku. I am nothing against the guy. I mean, I understand WWE passed up on him. I remember, you know, all that. But, you know, it's not like he knocks it out of the park in the promo department, even though he's not bad. He's great in the ring. But so are 900 other wrestlers out there. You know, I don't care if John Moxley, if he's teaming with him. You know, remember, Maven teamed up with Evolution back in the day, and look how that went. I don't care if he's his missed brother from another mother. I don't care if it's his lover. I don't care if it's his adopted son. I don't care if they go out and have tacos after the shows. I watch wrestling to enjoy the people I enjoy, root for the people I root for, and put stock into the ones that suspend my disbelief. The only thing that Wheeler suspends for me is my awakeness. You know, it's nothing personal against him. And AEW fans are going to root. Jesus Christ, if you're a WWE fan, you root for the lower card talent, especially if they're not being utilized the right way. I'm not saying that people shouldn't root for Yuta, but when it doesn't tear the house down and it doesn't pop big ratings, you know, I think it's pretty much a guarantee as far as why. But in the main event tonight, we had the obvious, Chris Jericho defeating Wheeler Yuta. Very good match, very predictable. So next week, Jon Moxley will be facing Jericho at Quake by the Lake. I know a lot of people like my pee by the sea. Every show now has got to have like a name to it. All right. Opening tonight, we had Jay Lethal versus Orange Cassidy. And as I'm sure a lot of you saw, I had a little bit extra reason why to enjoy the match tonight. Shout out to Zylot Themes for the Don Tony sign. You know, they're starting to turn into like hidden Mickeys in Disney. You know, you find a hidden Mickey. And more wrestling shows, the DT signs are coming back. I mean, back in the day, they were everywhere. You know, people don't make signs like they used to. But, you know, I enjoyed the match. You know, kind of felt like 50-50 booking. And obviously, since we all knew that Jay Lethal versus Wardlow was likely going to be a match at Battle of the Belts or next week's Dynamite, you needed Jay Lethal to get a win here, especially after the loss that they did on Friday. And props for Jay Lethal, man. You've paid attention to Jay Lethal over the last 2 weeks. He's been involved in not only several matches, but, you know, some pretty high-profile ones, you know? So Lethal beats Orange Cassidy. Towards the end of the match, Orange Cassidy selling a knee injury. Jay Lethal capitalizes on it, hits him with the lethal injection. After the match is over, Sunjay and Satnam Singh come out, and Jay Lethal gets on the mic, brings up Wardlow trying to make the save last week for Best Friends, and he teases that he's going to put the figure four on Orange Cassidy unless Wardlow comes out, you know, makes the save or accepts his challenge. Battle of the Belts, you versus me for the TNT title. So Wardlow comes out, makes the save, and then Wardlow says, whether it's today, tomorrow, next week, this arena, another arena, I'm going to whoop that ass. Just like that. I'm going to whoop that ass. I'm going to whoop that ass. Yeah, Wardlow will probably whoop that ass. So why don't we get an MJF back? When are we getting him back? All Out. Maybe. I know people are trying to make it a news story again, just like earlier this week. What was that website that said, hey, we got breaking news. Sasha and Naomi agreed to come back. You notice how nobody's like really talking about that? People cried wolf so many times, you know, and I'm not talking about every journalist. Some people had it right. But now it's like, whatever. We get a recap of Hook winning the FTW title last week. Then, if you remember last week's show, when we talked about the Trios titles, and I guess we could bring this up for a few moments. Trios titles, okay? They're going to start the brackets. Now, I wrote this a little bit in the teaser for the show, and I'm going to just throw it out there. If you've paid attention to AEW over the last year and a half, there's been a lot of trios matches. A lot of trios matches. Some makeshift tag teams, some groups. Then you got your obvious favorites, the Blackpool Combat Club, the Undisputed Elite. You could go down the line. The interesting thing about it is when these brackets come out, friends, there's not going to be as many trios teams in this in these brackets than you think. You probably could come up with a good, at minimum, Sweet 16. Would Sweet 16 be fair? You have eight teams on each side, four matches on each side. The problem is AEW All Out is coming up quicker than you realize. You know, that weekend is, I'm getting married, so trust me, I know it's only 4 weeks away. So you got to start banging through these brackets. Now, the thing with Adam Cole is very interesting because if you remember last week when we talked about the show, talked about the trios brackets, we figured it's going to be Hangman Page teaming up with the Young Bucks. And then if Adam Cole is able to return, if he's cleared, then it would be Adam Cole and Red Dragon. And we think that's going to be the finals. We may see Adam Cole and Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks and Hangman Page in the finals. The Undisputed Elite, everybody battling it out for those trios belts. Now, we had Adam Cole's return today. If you could get past the stupid noise on the internet about how he looks smaller than even before, guys had a serious concussion. People don't, I guess these people don't work out because you do have to put strain, you know, go lift something, go, you tell me if you don't pop a few blood vessels when you do that. You do that when you take a dump too, but crap by, shit by the pit, quake by the lake, pee by the sea. He came out. And in the ring, it's him, Red Dragon, and the Young Bucks. And Adam Cole feels good to be back in this ring, feels good to be back with my friends. He talks about loyalty. He says that he's still not medically cleared. He says that Kyle O'Reilly is not yet ready to be cleared. Swerve? Anybody think Swerve? Okay, fine. So now, because the seed is planted that Adam Cole cannot compete, Kyle O'Reilly cannot compete. That leaves in the ring the Young Bucks and Bobby Fish. And Adam Cole says to the Young Bucks, with all due respect, loyalty is everything. Loyalty is success. But if you're not going to have Bobby Fish as your partner in this trios tournament, you can't be in the tournament. And the crowd obviously don't want to hear that. The crowd is booing a little bit. The Young Bucks look a little bit confused. And Adam Cole says, you know what? I made a mistake. I didn't word it the right way. He says that you won't be physically able to compete in this tournament. And the next thing you know, you got Red Dragon and Adam Cole. They start beating the crap out of the Young Bucks. Hangman Page makes the save. Fucking nuclear pop. Big pop for Hangman Page. Loud cowboy shit chants. And they tease the re-alliance with Hangman Page and the Young Bucks. So that will be your team in the Trios tournament. And right now may be the odds-on favorites. So we'll see what happens. But be prepared. When they set up these brackets, there's going to be far less Trios matches than you think. Some people are going to be pissed. I guarantee you some wrestlers in AEW are going to be pissed too, but they know where their bread is buttered. And if you're a lower card AEW guy that feels like they keep having missed opportunity, you know, one or two things happen. You get to be like Ethan Page, where they say, hey, let's turn it into a storyline. We're not using you. We're not really doing anything with you. You're not getting any titles anytime soon. You're not going to fight for any championship. You're not going to have any main event things. So just go out there and act pissed off that you don't get opportunity. We'll turn it into a storyline. You could either be like Ethan Page, or you don't even get that. And because the chances of WWE picking you up might be slim to none, and they know that they get a little bit extra, and they get a little bit of a easier schedule with AEW, most people, as Riddle used to do, they keep their mouth shut. And the IWC, a lot of those people, they'll help them keep their mouth shut. So you're going to see some people that are not going to be happy. They probably won't express it. They probably won't express it. Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm, they lose to Dr. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Thunder Rosa, I loved this shirt. We could take Trios titles off. Sam Baggins since 2014. I like it. I like it. Play into it, Thunder Rosa. Play into it. Trigger those people. People got triggered at that shirt tonight. I want that shirt. Seriously. If they throw that shirt on sale, it's got to be thrown on sale. Look, I just noticed it. Look at the AEW logo under the four. That shit's definitely going on sale. Pro Wrestling Tees, of course. Look, I guarantee you, well, not necessarily because of the expletive, but I wouldn't be surprised if AEW puts Jungle Boy's shirt on sale. You know, Christian is a pussy. Wow. All you got to do is write the word pussy. All you got to do is put a bad word on a shirt, and everybody's like, that's the most amazing shirt ever. I swear to God, go look at social media. Just type in Jungle Boy in the search, and you'll see people, person after person, wow, that's an amazing shirt. That's epic. That's unbelievable. Please tell me that shirt's on sale. Stupids. Go to Cafe Press. The fuck you think? He owns the trademark to Fonz? Go in Cafe Press. Type in the words, Christian is a pussy. Do one better. Type in, Don Tony is an asshole. Don Tony is a pussy. And make it up. You don't have to wait for Jungle Boy. And why would you go on AEW shop and pay $40 with shipping, where you could go on joeblow.com and just find the font and make it up yourself. So, seriously. People are like, oh my God, I hope AEW puts that on sale. Are you fucking lazy? Go on Cafe Press. Go on any of these other Etsy. Go on Etsy. And just type it. What are you embarrassed? That you might offend the person on the other side? Yeah, I wanted a shirt that says Christian's. That's like when we used to joke about Dave Shearer from PW's Insider or Wade Keller and others. You imagine, look, I lighten up over the years. I don't dislike anybody anymore. I just don't have time. I don't feel it anymore. I just want to have fun. But we used to joke back in the day. Imagine these guys if they ever went to a club or if they ever went to a singles party. You ever watch Impractical Jokers and they're walking around the singles things and one of them is eating a giant turkey leg or something? You imagine like Dave Shearer, Wade Keller, or who's the other guy that got banished from Wade Keller's page, that piece of shit? You imagine him walking around, hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a writer. Ooh, do you write for the Wall Street Journal? No. Do you write for the New York Times? No. What do you write for? I have a horse. I'm sorry, what was that? That's what you end up in life? I mean, if you're going to do it like Meltzer and break bank. Meltzer is killing it. But these guys, that's what you end up in life? You're going to be 75 years old? You're going to collect the unemployment, you know, retirement benefits? I don't know. Just trying to make people laugh tonight. Just no angst, no animosity. Well, anyway, Thunder Rosa, Britt Baker, they lose to Britt, Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm. Thunderstorm, how's that? They lost to Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Crowd was into it. It was good at times, it was bad at times. Some of the camera work was really bad. The finish I didn't like at all. You had Toni Storm getting a little bit of a reprieve towards the end of the match, and she's running into each corner and nailing those ass shots into people's faces. And a stupid cameraman was there a few seconds too early, or better yet, somebody in production switched over to camera 19 a little bit too soon. And what do you see? You see Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa getting into position where Toni Storm is about to go into the corner and wail Britt Baker, and Britt Baker pulls Thunder Rosa in front of her. So Toni Storm inadvertently hits Thunder Rosa. This leads to Jamie Hayter nailing a finisher on Toni Storm, and they get the win. You know, camera work is very important. And that's one thing. I mean, especially after last week with Jericho in the ring. I mean, how do you do that? Sent the camera? Seriously, I could understand if it's like camera in the corner. That sounds like an AEW event coming up. AEW, Quake by the Lake, camera in the corner. You screw that up. Anyway, Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti will not be on Dynamite tonight because they're getting married. Congrats to them. Eddie Kingston interrupts the segment. He got a contract from Tony Khan, wants Guevara to sign it. He challenges Guevara for All Out. So that's where we have Eddie Kingston's next match, him versus Guevara. If I sound a little under the weather, it's just because I haven't really slept in 24 hours. Things continue to heat up with Christian and Jungle Boy. We have a backstage segment. Tony Schiavone is about to interview Christian. I thought this was a little funny. I'm not nitpicking, but if you go back and you watch it, it's kind of funny. Just picture this. They're in the back in like the garage and the garage is open. It's early during the day. Christian is about to do an interview segment and there's a car that hasn't yet approached the garage, but is still like in the parking lot, sort of about to go in the garage. And then Christian's like, holy shit. And you look and a fucking thing is still about a half a block away. And I don't know. Is, you know, Chevy Malibu the car of Jungle Boy for Jungle Boys? Like, that looked like a rental car. How did Christian even know that it was him? I mean, you look at the interview back. Go back and watch it closely. Put it in slow motion. because it's so fast. But when you see Christian, it's like, put it on slow motion. He's like, holy shit. And you look at the fucking car still half a block away. So, and this is recorded during the day. How's about cut? You got to be a little closer. Or better yet, Jungle Boy, how's about you fucking wail the tires, spin the tires? He pulled into the garage and he, like, very slowly, like he was doing driver's ed, like he had a driving test. He didn't even slam on the brakes. Slam on the brakes. Make skidding sounds. Skid makes people scared. You could be sitting outside just relaxing, taking the sun, and you hear a screech of the tires. You'd be like, go back and watch it. Seriously. Holy shit! Hobbs, Starks, they show from last week. Team Taz is officially done. Taz says, no more Team Taz. Powerhouse Hobbs beating Ren Jones. Ren Jones. Ren Jones. Never heard of him. I thought it was Swerve. I thought it was Swerve. I wasn't looking very close to, I don't want any assholes to be like, oh, it was every black person with dreadlocks looked like Swerve. No. If you fucking look, this is the same height. He actually looked like he was moving around like Swerve. And I'm like, why is Hobbs facing Swerve? And you look at him, it looked like Swerve. So he beats Ren Jones. And then here comes Ricky Starks. Ricky wants a little bit of Hobbs. He got a little bit of Hobbs. Hobbs hits him with the spine buster. And they're probably going to have a match it all out. So I'm just concerned what happens afterwards. A little concerned what happens afterwards. Darby Allin, you tattoo your girlfriend, your mom's name, your wife. You know, you want to tattoo somebody's name, tattoo it under your kneecap or the inside of your knee or under your armpit or somewhere else. People are telling me that he actually tattooed on the inside of his hand the coffin drops on Brody King. Either you two are like the best of friends or the best of lovers or something. If he legitimately tattooed that inside his hand, what the fuck happens 5 years from now when Brody King is absolutely nothing? Sitting in a bar, double the tummy, and he's doing nothing. What happens if Brody King ends up committing some type of crimes and is just embarrassed out of wrestling? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I mean, are you going to like put, like, oh boy, I get myself in trouble. Take away the B, throw an N in there, and you got California problems. Yeah, I just noticed that, you know, you could kind of like change it around. Yeah. Val, I'd like to buy a Val. Wait, what's her name? I'd like to buy a Val. Let me buy an E. How the fuck do you put Brody King on the inside of your hand? I can understand if you had like a 20-year feud with the guy and you're 65 years old and you want to pay homage for this lifelong feud. Yeah, I could see that. If that guy legitimately tattooed his hand, you are a moron. You are a moron. And you want to know something? I know this is going to sound strange, everybody. I watched that promo earlier. There was one visual that I just took a step back and for a split second I thought to myself, can I see Darby Allin legitimately in a WWE ring? Watered down, obviously, to prolong his career, but I really legitimately closed my eyes and said, can I see him in a WWE ring? And now, especially with Vince retired, you know, I think Darby Allin in a WWE ring is a possibility in the future. I really believe that. Would he ever get on the level of a Jeff Hardy? No. But as far as like he would have to reel in all his stunts. I think WWE would obviously make that clear. But I really think that he could be a WWE star if he wants it. If he wants it. He is an adrenaline junkie. And he's got a set of balls, man. I mean, I'm not taking away from that. The guy, he won me over about the last year, year and a half. He won me over. I like him. But the tattoo, man, he's seriously, like, you know, I can understand he's a cool dude and everything. And maybe for tonight's Dynamite, you're like, oh, man, that's fucking, that's gangster, man. He fucking tattooed on the inside of his hand, Brody King. That's fucking gangster. After today, you know what that is? What are you, stupid? In the inside of your hand, every time you, like, wave for a taxi, you shout out to Brody King. You know, you go to Disney with those magic bands and you go up to the statues. You go like this. How do you do that? I don't think that's a real tattoo. I just can't. I just can't believe it. All right. Matt Hardy losing to Christian. A little bit of nostalgia. It was a decent match. Matt Hardy misses the elbow, on putting Christian on a table. He gets out of Dodge. Matt Hardy goes through the table, eats a kill switch. Then I thought this was funny. Christian brings two chairs in the ring. Now, Luchasaurus beat the fuck out of Matt Hardy a couple of weeks ago. Suddenly, Luchasaurus kind of does not want to see Matt Hardy get a concerto. So Christian brings two chairs in the ring. Luchasaurus's music hits. Now, Jungle Boy was banned from the building. He was banned from the building. That was the stip. Especially after earlier when he, you know, like brisk drove into the garage and stopped very nicely. Still banned from the building. So Luchasaurus's music plays. Christian is like, hey, what are you doing here? And he's got the dark music. He's got the dark music. And he's got the dark mask on. And I'm like, wait, what are we about to see? And then here comes Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy chases Christian away. But the funny thing about it was they queued his fucking music up right afterwards. The guy that's banned from the building, they had the music ready to go. Wait, he's banned from the building. Oh, no, no. Could you, bitch? No, but boss, the story, he's banned from the building. No, no, no. Just to have that crowd have that energy, you know? All right. Daniel Garcia cuts a promo. I am the Dragon Slayer. Hey, Brian, come back and I'll slay the dragon once again. They are going to have a rematch. Be prepared, everyone. They will have a rematch. I think Bryan Danielson will get the win. And here's a little news tidbit. I actually wrote it in the synopsis for tonight. You know, we speculated about this over the weekend, and I got a DM from someone like, yeah, DT, you spot on. Do you know they pulled William Regal from commentating in the main event on last week's Dynamite because they did not want William Regal to have to react on the camera, on audio, of Bryan Danielson losing to Daniel Garcia? How do you feel about that? Was that smart or was that stupid? You know, if you don't understand what I just said, last week, early on in the night, after Moxley won, William Regal said, and we picked up on it, he said, thank you and good night. Wait, but Bryan Danielson and Daniel Garcia have a main event match on that same Dynamite. Why is he not commentating for that match? Because Bryan Danielson lost that match. They did not want William Regal to have to react to Bryan Danielson losing a match. That is news. No one is talking about it, but it's news. You want to call it sausage too? Call it sausage. But I ask you, smart on AEW's part? Now, in the case of Wheeler Yuta, you know, Yuta Michinoku, you know, tonight, you know, William Regal just went silent after Yuta tapped out. You know, it's Wheeler Yuta. Regal, Wheeler Yuta. You know, so it didn't matter tonight. But was that smart or stupid? I ask you. All right. Nothing like a dumpster match that goes pitcher in pitcher. The Acclaim beat the Gun Club in a dumpster match. This was a fun match. I enjoyed it very much. Before Max Caster could even cut a promo, the Gun Club came down the ring, and there was a dumpster up the rampway. They swack Billy Gunn with the garbage can, and then they smash him into the dumpster, and then they lay out the Gun Club for a little while, and then Max Caster gets on the mic, and he threw a Vince McMahon reference. He said something like, no filter, we ain't Instagram, we'll make the ass boys retire like Vince McMahon. Oh! Yeah, that's fine. That's good. That's vicious. And it's appropriate because it's a huge wrestling news story. So It's supposed to be corny, Michael. It's these raps are supposed to be corny. Listen! Listen! So, they had the dumpster match, and we had a really, really nice spot. I know people online were complaining, why did Colton just lay on the table and just chill out for a few minutes? You know, they put Colton, first of all, Austin Gunn climbed the big structure that is right at the end of the rampway, and he doesn't realize Max Caster is behind him, and, you know, he kind of like tossed, you know, Austin Gunn off the structure, and he just like, he looked like he was diving into a pool. Let's be honest. You look back at Austin Gunn going into that dumpster, all he needed to do was this, and you would have thought he jumped in a pool. So he jumps in, and you see 10,000 styrofoam chestnuts go up in the air, to pad the fall, obviously. And then they lay, Anthony Bowens lays Colton Gunn on a table, and Max Caster, beautiful, right off the top, does the mic drop, puts him through the table. Then they throw him in the dumpster. They close the dumpster, and then it was funny. They use bungee cords to keep the top closed. Now, you realize that the reason why they were doing that is because the dumpster is going to take a spill, and they don't want it to pop out, especially when it turns sideways. If you don't have something keeping those lids closed, secure, they can fucking fly out. And believe me when I tell you, that's more serious than you think. So they fastened it with bungee cords, and I thought that was funny because if any of you out there ever like tied something to your car with bungee cords, if you wrap it around 2-3 times, that shit ain't going anywhere. But if you think, hey, I got a bungee cord, I have to keep my trunk open because I have too much furniture in it, but I'm going to tie a bungee cord. If you just wrap it once, it's like a rubber band. It's like a rubber band. So they close it, and they really didn't secure the bungee cords. And I was thinking to myself, oh my God, please. I hope we don't have a disaster. And they're pushing, and this dumpster was like, it's like something from the war. I mean, they're all metal, obviously, because they have to haul like crazy ass garbage, but this thing had like metal dividers and outside things, and I'm like, holy shit, that's like something you probably see in Ukraine right now. So they're trying to push this dumpster, and you're looking at the wheels, and it's like those old wheels that if they're not turned the right way, you could push and push, push, push in the bush, and it ain't going nowhere. So they're pushing, and the wheels, they're not like the new, you know your luggage? You know your luggage? You have those 360 wheels. Those 360 wheels are awesome. You could actually like do ballet with your luggage, and you could spin around, and the luggage will go wherever you want. Go get a vintage piece of luggage on eBay with the older wheels and see what happens. So it has the older wheels, and you could see one of the wheels is like this, and they're pushing, and the dumpster is going like this, and it's right on the edge, and I'm like, oh my God, I am the dumpster. I am the dumpster. They fixed it, thank God. They were very, very smart. They knew to pull back and then push, and then they pushed it off the wheel. Cast the wheels, is that what it is, Andy Alien? Cast the wheels. So they push them off, and good visual, good visual. They won. Main event, as we said already, Chris Jericho beating Wheeler Yuta. You know, Jericho looking good, man. Dropped all that weight. You know, he's got good flexibility. Inflammation is gone. I don't know if he went carnivore, but he will face Moxley next week. And Moxley, you know, wants the Lionheart, wants, you know, the last member of the Heart Dungeon, and we're going to get Retro Jericho next week. Now, you know, I think of Painmaker, and I think of Violence. I think of what he did with Eddie Kingston. I would think that would be the one that, I think Moxley would want the Painmaker. Why would he want, like, you know, when Jericho was in Japan? But it was decent. Dynamite. Can't complain too much. I thought it flowed pretty well. Now, we have on Friday, I guess, an attempt to break 400,000 again, and they will. They'll break 400,000. We got John Moxley versus Mance Warner in an eliminator match. You know, Mance Warner, everybody knows his history. You know, not a bad guy. You know, getting an eliminator match out of nowhere, all right. You know, it's just, all right, we got to give Moxley a win, and we don't want to use anybody on the roster that, you know, might be in the top 10. Tony Nese and Josh Woods versus Swerve and Keith Lee in a Friday night street fight. They now will have those titles for 1 month. They have not defended them. And this is the first time that they're wrestling in almost a month. Someone is going to make her debut. We'll get into that news in a moment. Then we have the Battle of the Belts Saturday. Some of you ask me, am I going to cover it Saturday night? No, no, because it's... No. We'll talk about it maybe a little on Sunday or on Monday, but the matches is Wardlow versus Jay Lethal. Gee, I wonder who's going to win. Thunder Rosa versus Jamie Hayter. Gee, I wonder who's going to win. Claudio Castagnoli versus Konosuke Takeshita. Gee, I wonder who's going to win. What are we going to say? Good match. Great match. Good match. Good match. Oh, my God, this person appeared. Next week, Darby Allin versus Brody King in a coffin match. The Lucha Bros versus Andrade and Rush, the Latino Batista, Deacon Batista, in a tornado tag. Jade Cargill, I almost said Cora Jade. Jade Cargill has an open challenge for the TNT title. TBS title, excuse me. John Moxley versus Lionheart, Jericho. All right. Quick, because I know we're running a little bit late. I wanted to keep this around an hour. Might be a little rough now. Before we talk about a new signing, you might be interested in seeing this. Toni Storm is gracing the cover of Fitness Girls. That is a magazine that is actually not only digital, but they do sell it on stores. So if you want to go check it out, I heard the pictorial is fabulous. So I only have two pictures. You know, but that is Toni Storm gracing the cover of Fitness Girls. No nudity. No nudity. I don't want anybody to be disappointed. Yeah, no nudity here. The winner of last night's giveaway for this Nikita Lyons photo, that'll be Monday. Just a reminder there. All right. We could get into some very quick news. Madison Rain is now a member of AEW. AEW today issued a press release about the expansion of talent relations and the development team, I should say. And they clarified a little bit of the roles of Sanjay Dutt, Pat Buck, QT Marshall, Tony Schiavone, and they mentioned Madison Rain. She is joining AEW as a coach in the women's division, and she will make her debut, her TV debut, this Friday on Rampage. Now, will she wrestle? I say yes. I don't want to give anything away, but on, I think it's AEW Elevation next week, she has a confrontation with Jade Cargill. So, you know, we'll see where it goes there. Will we get Jade Cargill versus Madison Rain? It could very well happen, but she is now being brought on as a coach, and that's a good move. That is definitely a good move. Not only is she, you know, very respected, but she's pretty good in the ring. She actually, you know, can coach. And AEW, you know, Serena Deeb can't be the one all for everything. I mean, I know Dustin helps, and I know QT Marshall and others help, but, you know, to be able to actually go in the ring while you're helping, you know, bring some women up, that's a good move. That is a good move. They're not trying to make a women's show, Soulfly. They're not trying to make a women's show. When you get 3-4 women's matches on a card, you know, or get at least 2 on a weekly basis for about a month, then I'll say, okay, it feels like they're elevating the women a little bit, but they're not. Christopher Daniels is also on that development team. So it was a good press release, you know, clarified some of the roles of some of the names that I just mentioned, but the big name, you know, standing out is Madison Rain joining AEW. So very good for her. Also, Tony Khan did an interview with Sports Grid, which I thought was very interesting. I suggest you check it out because he talks about the fact that Triple H is now running creative for WWE. And he makes this remark. Now, when I read this to you, think in the back of your mind when AEW wrestlers become free agents, okay? He says this, and I quote, I think as far as if, you know, what has been going on with WWE is a good thing for wrestling. He says, I think that that's always been a concern, but probably more so than ever. I imagine great wrestlers are going to be in demand. And again, I think it's probably going to be good for the wrestling fans because that's one of the most exciting things about pro wrestling, free agency. It's one of those things that was really missing from the sport for almost two decades before AEW came in because there was not a legitimate contender, competitor for the free agent market. Now there is. And then he says one of the worst things that happened in American sports in his lifetime was WCW closing down. He feels there should always be another national company. Now, I know what a lot of you are going to say. You know, we're going to act like TNA, Impact Wrestling, NWA, TNA, didn't make, you know, a decent enough impact. You know, they, at some points, drew many more viewers than AEW. Different time, different era. That's why I don't compare it. But, you know, WCW went out of business more because of the AOL Time Warner merger than anything else. They agreed to sell it to Vince. And, of course, you know, Vince did what he did with it. You know, you have WWE. See, WWE, even though we, look, I lived through the Monday Night Wars and I lived through everything that went down. And, yes, at that time, I did have a lot of bitterness that ECW closed down. I had bitterness that WCW was not going to be brought back. They tried it a little bit with Shane with the different logo and all that other stuff, and it didn't work. And I'm as a wrestling fan, yes, I'm bitter about it. But as far as business goes, WWE did what AEW is not doing right now. WWE did not turn their entire product into WCW. They did an invasion storyline, and in the end, you know, WWE came out on top. And then WCW and ECW went by the wayside. But they did not suddenly focus everything on a different product simply because they were a big fan of it. And you see AEW, even though I will say tonight, they did a spectacular job keeping the Ring of Honor references at a minimum. I mean, for a majority of the show, you heard almost nothing about Ring of Honor. You heard it about Claudio and you heard it about Yuta for the most part. You really did. They did a great job with that tonight. I think Tony Khan may actually, I think the 375 on the Rampage rating, I think really sent the message, maybe more because of the demos in their eyes, but I think it's really sending a message like, look, man, you know, you could love Ring of Honor to death, but if you try to turn your product into a Ring of Honor, you're going to lose your viewers. So, all right. We're at 53. So let's get into a couple other things. Man, I feel like shit. All right. Let's talk quickly about NXT yesterday. Yeah, we kind of had a feeling that this was going to happen. And look, I'm not knocking this team. It is developmental. So yes, you could lose week after week or every 2 weeks, multiple times, and then ultimately become women's tag team champions. Congratulations to Katana Chance and Kaden Carter. They won the NXT tag titles yesterday. I keep saying it in a very lighthearted way. Kaden Carter, the most underappreciated booty in pro wrestling. I'm telling you, the most underappreciated booty in wrestling. And I say that very lightheartedly. I don't say it in any disgusting way. They won the tag titles yesterday. And, you know, we talked about this for the last week. You know, you use process of elimination. You knew Ferroz and Leon were not getting it. Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley, it's way too soon. Do you go with Toxic Attraction again? You know, so it kind of felt like there was only one team that was destined to win it, and they won it. So good for them. You know, we'll see who the first contenders are to the titles. And it was not a bad match yesterday. It opened up NXT. NXT yesterday, their ratings went up. Could someone double check the rating? I think it did like 636. It was either in maybe 640s. So they actually had a nice little increase this week. It felt like, you know, it was interesting because yesterday I didn't feel the buzz with NXT like I felt over the last month. And I thought yesterday's card on paper was a lot stronger than the others. Oh, VJ, I can't start rating top booties in wrestling. I mean, we know Kira Hogan has a fine booty. Nikita Lyons has a fine booty. You know, some of you, some of the NXT women that are, you know, you could see, you know, a lot of people say that about some of the women on the main roster. You know, what's that, WWE porn? Is that the Twitter account? There's a Twitter account, I think it says WWE porn. And all it is slow-mos of mostly women's booty. So, 649, thank you, SoFly, 649. So, yeah, they had a nice increase this week. Carmelo Hayes beating Nathan Frazier, open challenge for the NXT North American title. You know, teasing a little bit of Giovanni Vinci. And I'm very surprised how many of you are now starting to dig the Vinci character, the former Fabian Aichner. To me, he still looks like a Cesaro ripoff. But I tell you, I'm starting to see what you're talking about, Giovanni Vinci. Mandy Rose beating Saray, NXT Women's Championship. Axiom over Duke Hudson. I think Duke Hudson is done. He's close to being done. Ever since they released Persia Peralta and Dexter Lumis, Indy Hartwell and Duke Hudson, just not the same. Duke Hudson throwing insults to Axiom, you know, Axiom playing underdog. You know, your heroes do not win. And it's some stupid shit. So Axiom challenges him to a match and he beats him. And Duke Hudson, I feel bad, but I think his days are numbered in WWE. He's got a great physique. He's not bad in the ring. Thank God they stopped that poker shit. Duke Hudson, man, I don't know where you go with him. Just being honest. Creed Brothers over Tony D'Angelo and Stax. And as we expected, that doesn't look good. That does. Santos Escobar makes his return. He swerves Tony D'Angelo. And now, I believe, what? Yeah, next week. Tony D'Angelo and Santos Escobar, the final accord. The fucking a mafia land or even the Latino drug underworld that they try to tease this with Scarface and stuff. Where in my lifetime do we ever hear them say, you know what, man? I'm starting to get sick of this shit. You know what? You and me, one-on-one. No stacks, no legato, just you and me. And the final accord. That sounds like a horrible 80s song. It's the final accord. Can you just picture Santos Escobar sitting on a fucking yacht? You know, do this. Hey, give me Corona. Lemon. Peeled. You know what, Tony? I think we need to have one last tango together. You know, we don't get along. We're not built from the same cloth. I don't like you. You don't like me. Let's settle this once for all. You keep your guy in the back. Keep my guys in the back. The final accord. Damn schmucks. I'm just trying to picture Triple H or A-Train or somebody in the back saying, let's call it the final accord. Morons. Joe Gacy over Brooks Jensen. Alba Fire over Last Legend. Solo Sikoa beating Von Wagner Falls Count Anywhere. We had a little comedy in this. Apparently some ladies, their car broke down in the back of the NXT building and they're asking Carmelo Hayes for a jump. And then next thing you know, he gets thrown in the back seat because here comes Von Wagner and Solo Sikoa brawling. Cameron Grimes just randomly is walking around the back. He gets knocked on his ass. I enjoyed Von Wagner versus Solo Sikoa, that feud, more than I should. But the big question now, and I brought this up yesterday, and I ask you now, do you think Von Wagner's days in NXT are now done? With Solo Sikoa beating Von Wagner yesterday in the Falls Count Anywhere. I left NXT yesterday with the vibe Von Wagner may be on the fast track to the main roster now. What do you all think? And how would you feel if Triple H thinks that Von Wagner on the main roster is something good for business? I really felt that Von Wagner might be, you know, his day. One of those guys, I think, is close to done in NXT. And I don't know if it's Solo Sikoa. I know a lot of you would love to see Solo Sikoa with the Bloodline. Not at this very point. There's a turning point right now with the Bloodline feud. Putting Solo Sikoa in there right now, I don't think it really meshes well. I think Von Wagner might be the one going to the main roster. I think Solo Sikoa, you know, should be getting NXT gold. He should be NXT heavyweight champion before he goes to the main roster. And I know this is developmental, but I really believe that he's got to have one run before he goes to that main roster. I think it's going to be Von Wagner on the main roster. Put him with Gunther? Oh, I would, no. You want Gunther to have smaller people around him. So when he does what he does, it looks like he's going to kill somebody. Von Wagner, you know, I don't think, I would, look, they teased Commander Aziz as the bodyguard for Cora Jade. Maybe Von Wagner ends up being a bodyguard for somebody else. So next week we have Zoe Stark versus Cora Jade and Tony D'Angelo versus Santos Escobar. Hey, the final accord. And then the following week is NXT Heatwave. Right now we got Bron Breakker versus Jaden McDonough for the NXT title. I'll say something about that in a minute. And Mandy Rose defending the women's championship against Zoe Stark. I don't know how you feel about it. Every part of JD McDonagh and Bron Breakker, their interactions to me have not been very good. This is a feud that you just could feel is a mistake from the beginning. I'm not saying that JD McDonagh is not championship material. To me, he reminds me a lot of Finn Balor. Bron Breakker is Bron Breakker, so, and I'm a big fan of his. But sometimes you try to feud two people, and it just doesn't seem to work. This doesn't seem to work. I don't know why. It just, I'm not feeling it. I'm just not feeling it at all. And I don't know if it's because it was rushed, and I don't think it was rushed. Because if you're a player and you make your NXT debut, why wouldn't you want to go for the head cheese? Why would you why would somebody cut a promo? I want to start from the bottom. You're a fucking idiot. I mean, look, if you know that you're not ready, that's different. But if you're a star and you got something, you want to go make a statement right from the beginning. You know, yeah. So, but it just, yeah, I know he was trained by Balor, but he still reminds me of Finn Balor. He just, the way he looks, his physique, it's almost like a miniature version of Finn Balor. Like, you could buy the life-size stand-up. You ever buy one of those stand-ups? What are the ones that you stick on the wall, the fat heads? You buy a fat head. And some people actually go like this. Hey, look, I'm really hanging out with, Albert Pujols. Look! And then you could buy the mini fat heads. And it's like, wait a minute, I don't remember him being 5 foot tall. He looks like a mini fathead of Finn Balor. He gets Finn. Yeah, I get Finn Balor vibes with JD McDonagh. But I don't know, this feud, I'm just not feeling it at all. So, all right. Very quickly, don't forget, not tomorrow, but next Thursday, we're going to do the next mailbag. So if you have a question you want me to answer next week, it could be anything. I don't care. You know, nothing is off the table. DonTony@DonTony.com. I will put a thread in the community section later this week, so you could submit questions there as well. I like doing the email too, because some people prefer to be private with their questions. So, yeah, we'll do that next Thursday. So, no, Nasty, we don't do, I announced last week that any giveaways we do during the week, they'll be always every Monday night. Next Monday, I'll announce the winner of the Raw ratings, guess the ratings contest for that Vince photo. And then the winner of the watch party from yesterday. That'll be announced next Monday as well. So, yeah, whoever got over 2 million. I think I, didn't I say 2,062,000? But didn't it do like 2,200,000? So I was not that close. But I think I said 2,062. But they did a good rating. So I think that's pretty much it, guys. I think that's pretty much it. So I want to give two shout-outs that I saw these come in earlier. Giuseppe, coffee and cake for the only Don. Thank you very much, my friend. I have not had cake, even though I'm off keto, but I feel like crap. This is probably why I feel like this. I'm off keto now, and today was not a good day. So I don't even want to say what I had today. People would be like, you fucked up. Seriously, I was in the diner earlier. You fucked up. You fucked. I ate macaroni and cheese. First time I've eaten regular pasta in 3 years. And I started getting flushed. I got a headache. I started sweating. That's why I'm wearing a mess jersey right now. I'm sweating and I'm cold. My air conditioner is not even on right now. And it's like 90 degrees outside. So it's starting to hit me a little bit. And Eddie K, that is Zylot Themes, in case you all don't know. And Zylot was the gentleman who was sitting ringside tonight. You know, look, not only did he have that great Don Tony sign, but he also had one that said Kyle Fears Von Wagner. He had some good, PG is not all that bad. TV, you know, TV, PG wrestling. He had some doozies tonight. So shout out to both of you. Shout out to both of you. Shout out to everybody. I thank you as always for the support, man. Very much appreciated. You know, everywhere I look lately, I see nothing but drama. I saw tonight some other drama going online. I'm not going to bring up what it is, but I'm sure you all know. I didn't know. I saw it tonight around 7 o'clock. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, man, you know, this is one time, you know, stage. I'm like, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, we just look to just have fun and laugh and just have a good time. So, you know, drama sucks. And, you know, it is what it is, you know. All right. Yeah, I know you Padres fans, Juan Soto. I know what's going on. Believe me, I already got a question. Somebody rubbed it in my face for next week's mailbag, bringing up Juan Soto. I got it earlier today. Javier, you know who you are. I read it. Good. Good. You know, he's an awesome player. We'll see where what happens. I think your pitching is going to fuck you all up. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. I know I said an hour. We're an hour and 8 minutes. So we covered the game. We covered the ratings. Did I forget anything? I keep a little list just to make sure. Oh, there is one thing. There is one thing. I have to mention this because nobody mentioned it yesterday. I'm like, come on, man. 1 week ago, Medusa showed up on NXT TV, took the women's championship out of the trash, just like we said it was going to happen the week before. She announces new tag team champions. And for some weird reason, Roxanne Perez is awfully happy about it, giving hugs. You know, if she had a tail, she would have looked like a dog when the master came home. She's like extremely ecstatic, giving the title away. She's happy. It's like one of those horrible, like, it's like a bad Brady Bunch episode, you know. Like Roxanne Perez is like a father, you know, Brady, Mr. and Mrs. Bell. Come on, Dad. I won this championship. It's not my fault. Yep. But Roxanne, you know that, you know, you cannot be selfish. And, you know, it's a team. And if you don't have a team, then you cannot be, you know, and if you did, and you're right, Dad. You're right. Here. Fuck, give the title. That was stupid. But you know what's more stupid? Medusa's not even on the show this week. She takes the title out of the trash, announces the tournament. You get Katana Chance and Kayda Carr to win the belts. They're all happy. They're crying. They're hugging. I'm like, okay, where's Medusa? Where's giving the belts? Here. Come on, we need the hug. Medusa, where are you? WWE on the fucking cheap. How do you not have Medusa there this week? Just an opinion. Just an opinion. But I thought that was ridiculous. Maybe she couldn't make it. Maybe something happened backstage. But Medusa not being there, I thought was stupid. She should have been there presenting those championships. She took it out of the fucking trash. She should have presented it. Cleaned the belt first, but present it. You know? Maybe she ate the rest of those wisps from the garbage pail. Maybe she got sick from it. So I love wisps. Yeah, anybody, you saw the wisp bag in the garbage pail last week? I love wisps. I have bags inside. So, yeah, no, we don't immediately assume COVID or anything like that. I just thought it was stupid. Thought it was very stupid. Now, look, if she was ill and couldn't make it, all right, show must go on. That's what it is. But I did not hear anything about why. Nobody brought it up. And I'm like, come on, you know, you need Medusa on there. One more week is going to kill anybody. The amount of money WWE is making, it's going to kill a little plane fare hotel and, you know, $500. You know, I don't know how much they pay, but I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, post your questions, comments in the comment section afterwards. I spent last night, I didn't go to sleep till 5 in the morning. I finished Patreon early and I'm like, it's 12 o'clock, I'm going to bed. And I just had shit on my mind, you know, getting your marriage license. You know, the next morning we'll do that to you. So that's what happened today. But, you know, tonight, though, I will sleep like a baby. But I'll pop an Ambien, and then I'll answer some of your questions tonight. You know, just so you know, I'll leave you with this. You know in the comment section when Don Tony is about to pass out. Because you're, who was the celebrity that had the Ambien tweets? Was that Roseanne Barr? Remember she Ambien tweeted? And she blamed it on Ambien, and she just totally wrote some, like, crazy-ass shit. And she said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I was Ambien tweeting. That is a legit thing. That is legit. I take Ambien, and, like, I'll be wide awake, but then I'll get to a point right before I fall asleep that I'm like a zombie. And I'm literally just typing. And seriously, I'll show you right now. Look, you got this right here. That's that promo for this week. If I pop an Ambien, you're going to see this instead. That's what you're going to see instead. And we need to fix that. I don't think it is fixable. But so if you see my comments and suddenly I start spelling things wrong and I'm not even making sentences, you could say, okay, DT's about to fall asleep. So, and then sometimes the next morning I read back and I'm like, what the hell did I write? You could tell on my synopsis sometimes. That's why I typed the synopsis like day or two before. Because I used to type the synopsis 5 minutes before I go to bed. And the next day I wake up, and I got all these LOLs, like, you spelled this wrong. What the hell does this mean? This is this, you know, this didn't. And I, like, have all this wrong stuff on there. And half the things I say don't even make sense. And it's because I'm Ambien writing. So, Roseanne, yeah, she was the Ambien tweeter. So, all right, I'm out of here. Be well. I will be back Friday night for the watch parties. I will tell you that I have 2 autographed Topps cards. 2 Hall of Famers. If you go on eBay, they're selling right now $200. That is going to be the giveaway on Friday. I have them. I want to mix it up a little bit. So if you want to be part of it, tune into the watch party Friday, and then we'll announce the winner on Monday. And outside of that, I'll be back here Saturday morning, 11 a.m. for the Don Tony Show. We'll cover news. We'll get into anything else that's going on. And then we have to sit down on Sunday. So, you know, we'll see if anything else transpires as far as Battle of the Belts or anything. But much love, everybody. Have a great night. Stay safe. All the best as always. Follow me on Twitter at DonTonyD. If you're not a channel member yet or a subscriber, you know, consider being part of the family. So we're at 30,300 and climbing. Steady as she goes. Steady as she goes. Hey, the final accord. Come on, you and me. No artist do not. Didn't he call him a prick yesterday? I swear to God, I could have sworn I heard Tony D'Angelo say, this prick. I can't stand this prick. Hey, how's about you and me next week? Hey, you and me. No Stacks, no Legato. The final accord. You get it? The final accord. You go back to the family. Hey, how did everything go with you and Santos? Did you put him in his place? hey, boss, you know, not so much. You know, next week I'd get it done. What do you mean next week? Hey, you know, I challenged him. Oh, one-on-one? Yeah. Final accord. You find him in a fucking alleyway with no pants and no shirt on. You strip him of his dignity. Final accord. Fuck is a final accord?
Ugh. As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster.
I always wanted to be a final accorder.
Any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action.
Idiot!
I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup. And I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
Hey, you know what? Little bonus. I could come back. I could do whatever I want. Little bonus. Props to Parker Boudreau. Props, the former Harland in NXT. I just realized I forgot to bring that up. He made his AEW debut on Dark this past week, and I watched it. I'm not one to normally watch AEW Dark, but he made his debut against Serpentico. I'm happy about the guy. I thought if there was anybody who was hyped, had so much hype around him, didn't have much of a wrestling background, that maybe would just say, you know, man, fuck this. I'm going back to doing other things. I thought that could happen with him. I honestly did not expect Parker Boudreau to stay this committed and work his ass off as much as he can. I mean, look, I do believe WWE is going to re-sign him. I really believe that. I think if AEW does not sign Parker Boudreau, I think you'll see WWE bring him back sooner than later. But if any of you were a fan of him as Harland, go check out his Dark match against Serpentico. Thought it was pretty good. I'm not going to lie to you, though. I kind of like the Harland look a little bit more. I mean, everybody said back then that he looked like the next Brock Lesnar. This outfit kind of like feels that way a little bit. But, man, I was digging the Harland stuff. Him and Joe Gacy actually was pretty good. So, just want to show a little love for Parker Boudreau. I'm a fan. Be well, everybody. Have a good night.